Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Il Nostro Regno Radio's holiday production of A Christmas Bedtime Story with Gonzo. Gonzo will be telling the tale of the Yule of the Giant and the only boy to ever escape Dimmuborgir, a classic Icelandic Christmas tradition. We want to thank We Are All Gonzo for putting this together and his associates, T-Ball Lawyers and Sticky Fingers. I want to thank Mocha868 for all that she does to bring Il Nostro Regno Radio together. We are a group on allpoetry.com. And we are excited to bring you this Christmas presentation. And without further ado, here is Gonzo.
Papa, tell us a story.
Yeah, tell us a story. Tell us a story.
All right now, all right. Settle down, get in your bed, and I'll tell you a story.
Yay!
I love it when he tells stories. Can you tell us a scary story?
No, I don't like scary stories. I want to hear a happy story.
No, I want a scary one.
No, happy.
Scary.
Happy.
Quiet down. Stop fighting. How about Papa tells you a story about both something scary and something happy?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this story begins a long time ago, in a little Icelandic town called Mývatn.
You know you'll never escape here.
Feeling things.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very lonely.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant, the only boy who ever escaped Dimmuborgir.
Part 1. The Chance Meeting.
Jan, I don't care what you want. You're going to school.
But it's the last day before Christmas holidays.
All we are doing is having a stupid Christmas party. But with a stupid fake Santa Claus.
Jan, if he hears you saying that, you're not going to get anything for Christmas.
No, I don't care. I hate Christmas.
Jan, where are you going? Jan!
Crisp wind wisps round roads which twist, bound by mounds of snow, laden atop frozen ground delicate. Weary path taught misty grove, fraught with dangers, never sought, but the boy would not stop. Insisted in Jan on continuing his tryst, avoiding adhering to rules, persisted on resisting unwanted wastings like school, or assisting any other chore expected. He'd ignore and neglected all duties or hobbies, and was being quite naughty. Because his heavy heart was frost, suffered recent heavy loss at the cost of none other than his precious loving mother. She passed painfully away on the very last Christmas day.
I hate Christmas. And I'm never going back to my dad. Such a stupid holiday.
But I am getting hungry. What's that? Who's there?
Tiny footsteps crept from out murky depth as the child sighed a breath. It was just two children, 3 feet high at best, clad in ragged vests that hung from bony chests while their beards were withered and stressfully weird. The boy thought no danger, fraught with their anger he would not be any lame as he was a king, stronger than any stranger, especially since he carried a very sharp, fairly long locked and gauged stainless steel black switch blade. Simple boy making wages that will not show his favor.
Well, hello there, young boy. Where's your mother? Shouldn't you be home safe and sound under cover?
I don't know if you're dumb, stupid, or someone who's come into some kind of blindness, but show me this kindness. Refer to me as Highness. I clearly stand here a giant.
Oh, my mistake, since your family does ramble. To stop your grumbling, I humbly present King with a gift. Here's the potatoes you eat, and shall we beat the path neatly before any desire our defeat? We have 11 more brothers to meet. Come with us. I'm sure they'll be pleased.
What will you be doing?
Stealing things. So, little boy, you want to be naughty?
I don't want to be naughty. I am.
Good, 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 good. Come along, come along. Don't forget to eat your snack.
Yawns for the sun, only a young lad of 10 but 1. Thought he was a giant in waiting. Perhaps one day he'd become. Naively crept with the duo of dwarves, deftly they sauntered towards a gaping stone gorge. Before he had a chance to bother the others, accosted he was by 11 of the brothers. They nearly smothered him with hugs and pats, what began his fear. Lest that he relaxed. They gave him a pint of their finest lager and danced with him late until the sun hid its light. John thought he spied from the corner of his eye one of the brothers with John's precious black knife.
Sorry, young brother. I hate to be a bother, but that knife was my mother's. You can have it no longer.
The dwarf just laughed with a smile yellow and polite. As John stood with pride, another brother crept up behind. Put another knife just an inch from John's side.
What knife you talking about? Hey, what knife? My knife? This knife? Or his knife?
Papa, you tricked me. I thought you said this was going to be a happy story.
This story is awesome. There's knives and beer.
I don't like this story because I think it's scary.
Be quiet. We're finishing this story.
You be quiet.
Stop fighting. Stop fighting. I said it would be both happy and scary.
Will Jan escape?
Of course he escaped. The story is about the only boy to ever escape Dimmerbigger.
What is the bird of bird?
Dimmerbigger is an unusual lava formation. The lava formed a circle. It is said to be a pathway for the devil to take his minions in and out of hell at his leisure.
So Jan escapes, right?
I told you, it says that in the title.
That's if he was the only boy in the Dimmerbigger.
Was he the only one, Papa?
I'm afraid he was not. Feeling things.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
I'll remember your taste like. Do you want
This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant, and the only boy who ever escaped the New Bordeaux.
Little boy, wake up.
Where am I? How did I get here?
One of those little freaks with the high-pitched squeak dropped you down this hole about 4 foot deep. If we can try and pry the wires that have us tied and bide our chance, we'll be short and frantic, but we can make it out if we really plan this. We just have to find the right time. I want to see my mother again. She's my only friend. The only one around since my father left and never came back. I want to say sorry for being such a brat. I'm sorry for rambling. You can call me Jack.
I know how you feel about wanting your mom, but I fear mine's gone, like your father had done, except up in the sky. So no hope for her to come home. Just a memory and I will cry. I don't know why. So anger is all that I feel left inside.
I wish my mom was here.
I even wish my dad was here.
I wish anyone was here.
I had a knife, but I fear those fiends, very queer, have confiscated our weapons, so we are left to our own discretion.
As the two young boys search for their path, the dwarves secretly watch their struggle with a laugh, for they were not the first, nor would they be the last, nor the worst to try and stand tall to cast all the winds of fate and get back to their past. So the dwarves did patiently wait.
What's your name, little boy with no plan?
Stop calling me that. It's plain to see. I am a giant, in fact. My name is Jan. Soon I'll be gone to bring the army back, to unleash hell at dawn.
That one simple word the dwarves knew quite well. One jumped into the pit to get closer as well as inquire a question, spurred by suggestion.
Little boy, do tell. What do you know of anything of hell?
Hell is a place of a wicked burn, and burn till lessons are learned.
Hell is a place for bad, naughty people.
And deserves to be punished for being so evil.
Yes, boy, indeed. But I clearly see you are not understanding my point. You're not understanding me. If this is a place for the wicked and bad, why are you here? And not home with your dad.
John the Giant fell silent as he tried to fight it, but the fear built inside him and the tears fell from his eyelids.
I'm afraid no escape will favor you today. No one escapes this place. No one escapes.
What about the boy from yesterday?
This tidbit of information had John's thoughts swarming. Alarming it sounded, but still he was confounded. It can only sound the only question in his mind that was found.
Why are you taking children?
For our queen.
What does she want with kids like us?
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children? I'm sorry, old chap, but many more chores to do. I'll see you after supper. Well. Whichever one she doesn't chew to pieces.
I wouldn't want to eat for supper. I bet it hurt.
I bet I'm a giant and I would eat you.
Stop!
Stop it!
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Stop fighting!
Stop fighting.
Fine. Well, you're a giant butthead.
And you're an ugly fart.
You won't get to hear the rest of the story. I won't say it again.
I don't like this story. You said it was happy.
Well, the happy part hasn't happened yet.
See? Told you he lived.
Who would a giant eat, Papa?
Who indeed?
You know you'll never escape here.
Feeling things.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
Oh, how I wonder what you taste like.
This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant, and the only boy who ever escaped to Dimmu-Borgir.
Each second passed like it somehow amassed some sort of bond to the moment before. No longer could they endure. Escape was at hand, or else their fates unsure. Lacking preparation for a physical confrontation, minus the precious blade once laid in his hands by the one who made him, the grown man. John the Giant. Damnation would dissuade. He would survive the day. Determined Stoutheart made a crack in the ice shell casing, wanting to go back to his regular life. Waiting.
Finally. Yes.
Jack, what are you doing?
I broke free. I have an idea.
Jack watched the dwarves walk in line, followed one at a time, but clearly saw nine make their way for the door. If he could somehow just find the one in possession of Jan's knife, he could hold off the others for sure. Jack may have been bigger, and he seemed to be quite older, but his body was weak from malnutrition and exposure. Closer Jack crawled to whisper his scheme, and something shined a flash, a singular gleam, hidden between the belt buckle and the waist of a lone dwarf. He was slowly turning around, returning on his course.
When I count to three, we'll attack this little monster.
Mm-hmm.
Clobber his face with our fists until no longer. We suffer the slings and arrows of captivity. Follow my plan. This will work. You'll see.
Unsuspectingly sauntering by, no idea he was about to die, the dwarf continued to try and unknowingly live his last breath. The last moments of his miserable little life. Joan kicked out the dwarf's legs, Jack gripped onto his face and the blade, and they both began warping the dwarf's face out of place. A small whimper crept from the neck of the dwarf. No respect given, no mercy, no remorse, because why would the children give to the fiends something the other children before had not seen? Why would tiny people expect to protect the children they took from their parents while they had slept? And almost like a sign from the hallways that wind around the core of the prison, make no mistake given, came a loud, bellowing cry. Terror and fear shook the boys quite clear, was a sound to all round that none would wish to hear. As if both enlightened with knowledge uninvited, a tightening felt in their chests, in their core. Of course they knew where the sound was from within. The she who the dwarves had taken them for. The one to which they would be given. Crawling on hands and knees, hoping to stay out of sight. It wasn't long before longer fingers gripped Jack's legs so tight. It felt as if his bone had just crumbled to ash. The beast dragged him out slowly and brought Jack face to face.
Oh,
reeked of vile, vile human and animal waste. And oh, how her teeth did gnash. Jack caught in paralysis, his body frozen. She grinned with glee and opened her mouth and sat his chin on the bottom row of teeth. Stretched her upper jaw over the nape of his spine, and in one swift motion, she chewed on his mind. The beast staggered along, taking nips every few steps. A section of Jack's neck, and then a section of his chest, a portion of his stomach, and then she tossed away the rest. Locking eyes from the other side of the room, John knew his doom would come soon, no matter what he did do. She knelt a bit lower.
You know you'll never escape here.
And cracked the same wicked grin.
Oh, how I wonder what you'll taste like.
She laughed, and with a glide, she stumbled outside. John was in shock. Couldn't stand, no bother to walk. Stuttering out a single phrase just to feel a little defiant.
That was a...
Yes, John. That, my little friend, was a real giant.
I hate Christmas.
And I'm never going back to my dad.
Sweet silver bells.
We have 11 more brothers to meet. Come with us. This night? Or his night?
Four seem to say, throw cats away.
One of those little freaks with the high-pitched squeak dropped you down this hole about 4 foot deep.
Jack, what are you doing?
Sweet silver bells.
Follow my plan. This will work.
Four seem to say,
what the...
Four seem to say, throw cats away.
That, my little friend, was a real giant.
That last chapter was gross.
I bet there was blood and guts everywhere. This story kicks ass.
Watch your language, young man.
Sorry, Gramps, but come on. This is way better than those stupid fairy tales you usually read.
I hate this story. I hate story time. And I hate Christmas, too. Mom was right. This is a stupid holiday.
I don't think you're understanding the moral of the story.
The moral story is don't trust dwarves.
And always carry a knife.
No, no, no. It's not about weapons or violence.
How's Jan gonna fight a real giant?
He's not. This is probably one of those trick stories where they actually die.
I bet Jan and the giant are gonna get married.
Will not.
Will too.
Well, technically he'd be Mr. Witch Giant.
What? The giant is a witch?
Grilla is her name. And the 13 dwarves are her children. Well, 12 now. She spends holidays perusing for young kin to munch on before her portal to hell seals shut for another season. When she became too weak to travel, she began sending her sons to fetch her dinner. Didn't matter what child they were, although they preferred the thick and not the thinner.
Any children?
Only naughty children.
He's naughty.
So like when she stole chocolate bars from the grocery store.
Oh, and he and his friend were in the woods playing with matches.
You two what? What?
Or how she has stolen $25 since she's been on this visit. Just this one.
Oh, and he got the dog to wear the dentures.
That why they're furry.
Or how he searched up bad videos on Dad's computer. And now Mom and Dad go to counseling.
Or how she keeps poisoning the neighbor's dogs with rat poison.
Enough! Enough!
Now, the both of you listen and listen heartily to this story. It would serve you well to heed this lesson, as my children raise two spoiled brats, as I seem to be guessing.
Okay, old man, but seriously. Any more parts with beer or knives?
Well, I guess you'll just have to pay attention to find out.
You know you'll never escape here.
Feeling things.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant, and the only boy who ever escaped Dimmu-Borgir.
Desperate plea. Jan knew this was defeat. As he stared at what was left of the feet and the legs and the waist of young Jack, it became nothing more than a mid-morning snack. Jan could not stop such a morbid, sad thought. Jack was the one who snatched the switchblade. What if the blade was on the part of Jack? The giant ate. He walked over and searched his friend, luckily feeling the blade's slick black end. A sigh of relief gave him little peace as he turned to spy another one of the fiends.
Hello.
As if animal instinct, Jan started to listen and speak from his heart.
I'm not a bad boy. I'm not really naughty. I'm just real sad since my mommy died. She was an angel. The best part of my life. If I had one more chance to go home to my life, I know I could do better. I swear I would try.
The sky cracked fierce with the lightning strike. Stomps clonked along. Stone brick walls and a familiar bellow rained down the hall. Tears flowed down Jan's cheeks.
Please, one more chance to save my life.
Why couldn't he have just called out to his father and hugged one another once more, instead of running away and getting stuck in this place? Loneliness had lost all allure.
I swear I'll be so good, and every one of my kids will be good too. And their kids too. I promise this to you.
The giant stretched itself in front of Jan with indignation. He finally got an up-close look at the horrid abomination. Fair 16 feet tall, with eyes as round as the day is long, able to crush stone and bone within his palm, able to squeeze the life from the quivering giant, Little John.
Until the day I die, I swear I'll try.
Its bony fingers curved in a cup, the giant extended its arms towards the young pup.
You have a deal. Now don't mess this up.
I won't.
The giant spun around and put his hand to the circle stone, shimmering clear, and disappeared from Dimmu-Borgir. The dwarves were all gone and Jan was alone, finally free to run back to his home. He was a changed young lad, no longer bitter inside. To make up for his mistake, he knew he would try to be the best man that ever lived, and true to his words,
Wait.
Hang on a minute.
Whoa, Gramps, come on.
Are you kidding me?
That ending was worse than it, too.
That can't be the ending. It just... It sucks butt from a rubber cup.
That ending was number two. I'm not going to bed until you read us a proper story.
Yeah, read us a better one.
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 I'm never going to listen to your stupid stories again.
Stupid stories.
Good luck.
Read us another one, Gramps. Or else I'm going to start stealing your social security.
If you don't read us another story, I'll smother you in your sleep.
You should have paid closer attention. This story is about naughty children like you getting what they deserve.
We're the entitlement generation, Gramps.
Yeah, we deserve whatever we want.
Get with the times. Old fogey.
Papa, what was that?
Oh, it's Papa now, is it?
What was that?
That, my spoiled, saucy simpletons, was the telltale sound of massive hooves touching down on your very rooftop.
I'm scared.
You're lying.
Oh, no. I never lie. Naughty children like you lie, but good little boys like me, we always tell the truth. I'm very sorry you didn't like the story, but it's too bad because you could have changed the ending to this yourselves. Instead of making Jan break his promise to the witch, you two could have just behaved and he would have died an old man, happy and content. Instead, I get to watch her scoop you up and carry you away.
It's not real. It's not true.
Papa, why are you letting her take us?
Papa made a deal a long time ago on the edge of that mountain. A life for a life. Well, in this case, two lives. I did take one of her children. Only fitting she takes two in return.
It was just a story.
How's this for an ending?
You've been listening to A Christmas Bedtime Story with Gonzo, a production of Il Nostro Regno Radio. Il Nostro Regno Radio is part of Il Nostro Regno Poetry Group. We're found on allpoetry.com. All rights and reserved to this production are owned by We Are All Gonzo and Il Nostro Regno Radio. All creative properties of this production are owned by We Are All Gonzo. If you have any questions regarding this production or any other production of Il Nostro Regno Radio, please contact the co-owners, Mocha 868 or JCA at allpoetry.com. And with that, Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, or whatever else you're celebrating. Happy holidays to you. This has been JCA.